As one, your voice may not be heard. As one in a million, your voice cannot be ignored. Rick Santorum's Patriot Voices stands with you for faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. Welcome to Patriot Voices Radio. This is your time to stand up and let your voices be heard.
Welcome to Patriot Voices Radio. Hi, I'm your host, Dan Davidson. It's great to have you here today. We have another great show lined up for you. Patriot Voices is all about standing up for faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. Patriot Voices was founded by Senator Rick Santorum and his wife, Karen Santorum, and we focus on the issues that are dear to our heart as conservatives and as patriots of America. We have the privilege and pleasure of having Senator Rick Santorum live a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that. We're going to have a CPAC preview. The upcoming Conservative Political Action Conference will be taking place in National Harbor, Maryland this week, and Friday is Patriot Voices Day at CPAC, and you can learn more by going to patriotvoices.com/CPAC, and Senator Santorum will be a speaker there. And there's going to be a lot of events going on, so we want to make sure to let you know about that. And we'll be checking in with Senator Santorum live on the radio here for a number of issues and topics. Of course, his new book, written along with his wife Karen, Bella's Gift, is getting great reviews. And let us know if you've had a chance to read some of Bella's Gift. And we can perhaps share some of your comments on the air today. You can always call in and share at 347-857-3462. We are live the second and fourth Tuesdays each month at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. That phone number, 347-857-3462, is a great way to call in and listen to the show live. And actually, I want to give a shout-out to our National Grassroots Director Shelley Ollersmeyer, who is on the road today, headed to D.C. for CPAC. Shelley, wave. I see you. Awesome. I think she's listening in on that line right now. Also, we have a 24-hour hotline because Patriot Voices is all about your voice, and we love to share your voice on the air. It's recorded. It's a 24-hour hotline. You can just call and just share your heart on any issue or topic. That number is 512-827-0033. We always love to hear from you. Also on the show today, we're going to hear from David Santhillier. He is the vice chair of the Benedictine College Republicans Group. We're very excited about having him. We'll also talk with Lance Cook, vice president of public affairs for the Citadel Republican Society. They both will be joining us live, as well as Senator Santorum. We've got a great prize today, a signed copy of Bella's Gift, the new book we just spoke of, will be given away to someone through our Patriot Voices Facebook event. So it's real easy to sign up for this and be eligible. You can just go to the Patriot Voices Facebook page, and there's an event for this radio show at the top of the page. Just join it. You'll automatically be entered to win. It's that easy. And we'll be drawing winners throughout this show. Of course, we always appreciate you sharing anything from the Patriot Voices Facebook page. And just as a reminder, this is a live show, but after it is finished, it's easily archived, and you can share the archived link, and anyone can go back and listen to any of the shows. And you can go to patriotvoices.com/radio with a small r. So that's our lineup, and we're going to get right into our interviews here. We're privileged to welcome to the show David Santhillier. David, welcome to the show today.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. You are the vice chair of the Benedictine College Republicans in Kansas. David, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're studying and where you're originally from. We want to get to know you a little bit.
Okay, well, I'm, like you said, I go to Benedictine College. I'm a senior here, and I'm studying political science. I'm a big political junkie.
Great.
And originally, I've kind of lived all over the country, but since I was about 12, I've lived in Nebraska, and I live in a really small town called Dwight, Nebraska.
Wonderful. And I understand that Senator Santorum spoke with your college Republicans group last Saturday, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit about that event.
Well, it was a huge success. He came and spoke on religious liberty and there's about 250 Benedictine students and faculty there. He gave a great speech. Answered some questions. A lot of people got to meet him, talk to him, and it was just really great to have him on campus. We've been trying to get him to come for a couple years now, and so it was wonderful to finally get him here.
That's fantastic. Now, was that the first time you had met with Senator Santorum?
Well, it was the first time I actually got to talk with him. I met him very briefly in 2013 on the March for Life, but that was just a couple seconds for a picture. So this was the first,
sure.
I guess, the first real meeting I've had with him.
Right, exactly. So just share a little bit more about the event, and was there anything that stood out in your memories from the day as far as the people who attended and some of the connections that were made?
His speech was just a real call to action. I think college students can sometimes take for granted their opportunities and the freedoms they have in America. And the senator
right.
just really, really challenged all of us to pay attention to what's going on when it comes to religious freedom. He talked about the what's going on in the Middle East, in Europe with ISIS, and those problems, and he just really challenged us to be aware and get involved, because if people, the younger generation, if we don't get involved, then who will? But
absolutely,
yeah.
It, like you said, it's a call to action. So how was that message received by those in attendance? Do you feel?
I think everybody really appreciated it. I've had over the last couple of days many people come up to me and tell me how much they appreciated it, us bringing him to campus, how much they enjoyed his talk, and how impressed they were with him. I know even people who said they didn't originally like him that much, they said they came away very impressed. So I was happy with that.
That's awesome. Now, I think you mentioned that you were at the March for Life a few years ago. Is that when you first kind of met Senator Santorum?
Yes, I was. I've been on the March for Life 3 times, 2012, 2013, and then just this last year. And I met him in 2013, just got a picture with him.
Wonderful. You know, I was there this last year. And I know, well, what really struck me and a lot of people were how many young people were at the March for Life. And I'm sure that
yeah,
was the case in the last couple of years, wasn't it?
It was. I think somebody said the average age at this year's march was 26. So
really?
definitely dominated by young people. Benedictine College, we took 6 busloads down to the march this year. So
fantastic.
About 300 of our students. Last year we took 8 buses, so.
That's amazing. That's a life-changing event. It was the first time I had the opportunity. And, of course, Senator Santorum and his wife Karen and all his children were there. And, I mean, they march every year, which is really cool. Because,
right.
like you said, they stand for pro-life. And they're right there marching with everyone. So let me ask you, I know you are planning to go to CPAC this next weekend,
am,
right,
yes.
in Maryland. That's awesome.
Yeah, I fly out tomorrow.
Fly out tomorrow. Fantastic. And you recently won, actually, a Patriot Voices contest to go to CPAC this year. So that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I feel like I won the lottery.
That's awesome.
I've been really wanting to go to CPAC for the last couple of years. It's just never worked out just because the cost and classes. But this year, I couldn't really turn down a free trip. So I'm very, very excited about that.
Well, that's very exciting. I mean, God has you there for a reason. It's going to be an awesome time for you.
Yeah.
What do you hope to get out of your experience at CPAC, you know, personally?
Well, I know that CPAC is kind of where all of the presidential hopefuls, the conservative ones, come, and they really lay out their vision for America, and I guess their vision what America would be like under their watch. So I'm really hoping just to get a good sense of what all of those candidates have in mind, what they stand for, because it's a really, really crowded field this time around, I think, and it'll be really good just to hear all their ideas. And then, I mean, it's just going to be a great opportunity for me to network and meet people, make a lot of great contacts. Looking forward to working
sure.
with the Patriot Voices people on there. And then just I'm looking forward to having a great time in the world's best city.
Yes, yeah, D.C. is an exciting city. Now, you mentioned your political science major, and you're kind of a political junkie in a good way. And I know that you've worked on some campaigns in the past, Governor Sam Brownback and Senator Ben Sasse there in Nebraska, and you actually spent some time in D.C. As an intern. Is that right, last summer?
Yes, I did. I spent about 3 months this last summer working for Senator Deb Fischer. She's Nebraska's senior senator now, and that was quite the experience. It was pretty amazing.
That's awesome. And, David, I know ever since even before the 2012 election, you've been, you know, a huge fan of Senator Santorum, and you've always, you know, loved his principled stances, right? Tell us the things that he stands for that you stand for also that are important to you.
Well, I think the biggest issue is the issue of life. The pro-life cause is something that's very, very important to me. As a Catholic, especially, that's one of the foremost issues in my mind. And I love the senator's, how he's been so dedicated to protecting the unborn throughout his career in politics. That was really the first thing that attracted me to him as a candidate. But he's sincere, and you can tell he really, really cares about our country. And I also really like his foreign policy stances, and he's got to be one of the most experienced foreign policy possible candidates in 2016.
Absolutely, and we actually, when we get an opportunity to speak with him later in the show, we'll be talking about some, of course, important issues currently with foreign policy, and he's always had very strong stances on that, national security. I know, David, that several years ago you made up your mind that you would like to get Senator Santorum to come to speak at your school, and I know you know that was about a year and a half ago or so, and you know it can take time for things to fall in place, but it sounds like things opened up very quickly here recently. I know Carrie Pemberton, who's on the Patriot Voices staff, had reached out to you. And you recently became a volunteer for Patriot Voices as a local point of contact, and things just kind of dovetailed from there, didn't they?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, I sent a lot of emails over the last couple of years. I think Senator Santorum's scheduler knew me by name. But it really just fell into place over the last couple of weeks. I think Carrie saw a picture of me with a senator on Twitter, and she reached out to me to see if I'd like to volunteer, and I said I'd be glad to, and then I also mentioned that I'd been trying to get him to Benedictine, and then everything just kind of clicked, and he was here just on Saturday. So,
David, let me ask you, if Your heart is in this, I can tell, and you're passionate, and you're taking that call to action personally, and you're living it out in your life. If you had an opportunity to just share with some people of your age, what would you say to them to encourage them to really get involved and make their voice be heard?
Well, like I said earlier, if it's not us, then who's going to do it? I think a lot of people say that the youth are the future. Well, we're not the future. We're the now. And I think people are often turned off by politics because, politics is kind of a messy field, and there's a lot of corruption. But politics is what governs our country, and without good young leaders in the fight, we're not going to go anywhere. So we do need our generation to step up and take that call to action and get involved. Otherwise, we're going to have a really hard time getting our country back on track.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you said there were 200 young people there at the event that Senator Santorum spoke about. I mean, that's what it takes, doesn't it? I mean, a speech like that and hearing someone like Senator Santorum can be life-changing for someone as far as them realizing, okay, hey, he's talking to me, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I hope so. I really hope he touched some people's lives and made them realize how important it all is. Because it really is, our country is going through a very crucial time. So it's no small thing.
Well, David, thank you for your leadership and for making your voice be heard. You know, I mean, you're doing the things that it takes to get out there, and you're taking Senator Santorum's call to action to heart. And we just appreciate that. I mean, that's very inspiring. Anyone's age, but especially young people like you, and the fact that you're making a difference there with other people that you're same age, and encouraging and challenging them.
Oh yeah, thank you. I do my best.
Well, thank you, David. We look forward to hearing about your CPAC trip, and have a great, safe trip. And I know you're going to be really inspired there. And thanks for representing Patriot Voices while you're there also.
Yeah, I will. And thank you very much for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Okay, David. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye-bye now. Okay, thank you. Really enjoyed visiting with David Santhilaire. He's the vice chair of Benedictine College Republicans in Kansas. And sounds like there was a lot of energy and excitement after Senator Santorum spoke last Saturday night to 200 young people, and that's what it's all about, the call to action, as he said. Speaking of Senator Santorum, we are going to welcome him now to Patriot Voices Radio. Senator, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. How are you? It's great hearing the end of David's conversation there. He did a great job in turning out an awesome crowd at Benedictine College in Atchison, and it's a beautiful campus. It was actually a very nice warm day in middle of February in Atchison. It was in the 40s, and they had a great crowd, and I think everybody had a great time.
That's awesome. You know, he was talking about that you gave a call to action and really were challenging the young people to get involved. Can you just share a little bit of the heart of that message that you shared regarding that?
Well, I mean, I talked about the importance of religious liberty in America, and you know, you've heard me talk about this many times, and have been traveling around the country with the documentary that I worked on, One Generation Away. We're still
right.
Getting churches and schools showing that documentary, and it's the sad thing is two of the cases that are in that documentary, one a cake baker in Oregon, another is a florist in Washington State. Just in the last 2 weeks, both of those cases have taking even a worse turn for these two women who run those businesses. The one woman, Melissa Klein, and her husband, Aaron, they were just found guilty of discrimination and fined, I believe, $150,000 by the Department of Labor, and for this is the same Department of Labor that announced before the hearing that they needed to be rehabilitated, this couple, because they didn't understand the hatefulness of their position, that they did not want to participate as Christians in a same-sex wedding ceremony. And unfortunately, the same thing has happened up in Washington State with Arlene. I can't remember Arlene's last name, but she has a flower shop up there. She had a customer that she used to provide flowers for years and years. And knowing that he was self-identified as a gay man, and yet he came in and asked for the wedding ceremony, and she said she couldn't. Well, that blew up, and she too has been fined by the state of Washington. So this is a people think that the problems of maintaining freedom are something we can. You never have to do anything except hopefully rely on our men and women in uniform, both here at home and overseas, to protect our freedom. That's only part of it. We got to protect our freedoms in fighting for those freedoms here at home against the encroachment of government that wants to tell us how to live our lives according to things that are inconsistent with our beliefs, particularly our Judeo-Christian beliefs, increasingly.
We want to remind people about the documentary One Generation Away, The Erosion of Religious Liberty, and they can get the DVD now. They can host a movie event. They can, at their church or event, and it's at onegenerationawaymovie.com. And so I know that was an important message to share with those young people, certainly. Senator,
yeah, well, we told them that the only way we're going to get it back is if people are informed and they go out and they have to engage the public square. They have to
right.
be bold, and they have to do it with love, but they have to be bold and they have to be courageous, and knowing full well you're going to get hammered. So go out there and run into that wall, and sometimes you got to run into that wall and again and again and again before you can knock the wall over.
Bold and courageous. I love that. Senator, I know you're headed to CPAC this Friday, and I understand you'll be focusing a lot about foreign policy. Can you give us a sneak peek into what you'll be sharing at CPAC?
Yeah, I'm going to focus the talk on really the issue of the day. I almost hesitate to say that, given that what's going on in our country right now. There's so many things
right.
to be concerned about. I just mentioned this, religious liberty, but the one that I think is rightfully catching people's attention, as you know, Dan, is something that I've been talking about for quite some time, and in many cases felt like a one-man band out there, talking about the rise of radical Islam, and as I described almost 10 years ago now, in a series of speeches I did back in 2005 and 2006, the gathering storm of the 21st century, talking about how radical Islam was not something that was just Al-Qaeda or Osama bin Laden, but a movement within Islam to try to regain its former glory. And the belief that the call from the Prophet Muhammad is someone who said that this religion was to take over the world, and that it is the job of Muslims to execute upon that and carry it forward. And for 1,000 years, Islam expanded primarily, not exclusively, but primarily by the sword. And that stopped in particularly in encroaching into the West, and was pushed back. And a lot of lands that were held by the West were reclaimed by the West. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And there has been sort of a homeostasis, if you will, for the last 300 years. But you have a lot of radicals, radical Muslims who believe that it is their job to finish the job. And they are going back and looking at the original text. They're looking at what was done in the 7th and 8th century. And they are adopting not just the ideology or theology, I should say, but they're adopting the tactics that were used at that time to expand Islam. And that is the threat that we have confronted now, not just for the last few months with ISIS, but the theology that we've been confronting, this fundamentalist or radical Islam, is something that has been brewing for almost 100 years now. It's been resurfacing slowly but surely. And every iteration of this radical theology that we see is becoming more and more toxic and more violent.
Senator, I know a lot of people may not realize all that you did in the Senate on foreign policy, particularly authoring the Iran Freedom and Support Act and the Syria Accountability Act. Both those bills were signed into law. Now, I know you faced a lot of opposition to those bills at first, but talk to us a little bit about those bills and what they did and why they are important.
After the events of 9/11, what I did was focus my time and energy on trying to understand this threat. I didn't think it would be helpful just to look at one group, Al-Qaeda, and not try to understand what they were talking about. I was anything but a Muslim or Islamic scholar and didn't understand radical Islam, didn't understand its roots, and felt that if this threat was going to be a challenge to us, if we were going to have to vote on what to do to stop this threat, whether it's Iraq or whether it was to be any other country in that region of the world, I needed to better understand the larger context. So I did. I read a lot about it and went back and studied some, read some historical analysis of Islam and tried to put it in the context of what we could expect going forward, with these groups. And so Iran is a good example. When it became clear to me that Iran was rededicating itself to developing a nuclear weapon in 2005 and 2006, I offered a bill called the Iran Freedom Support Act to try to help the democracy movement, or the what turned out to be the Green Revolution in Iran, to rise up, because I realized that the vast majority of Iranians were not anti-American. The vast majority of Iranians were not happy with the government of the mullocracy, the mullahs who had taken over in 1979 and declared war on the United States and have been fighting us ever since. And I felt that we needed to help the democracy movement there, as well as put sanctions on Iran and their nuclear program. Well, when I introduced that, the president and the Secretary of State at the time, Condi Rice, said they did not support it, but for my sake, they were not going to say anything publicly. They were just going to let this thing play itself out. I continued to push forward. Eventually, got an amendment on the national security bill, the Defense Authorization Act, and tried to move that amendment, which at the time we had worked very hard over the course of a year and got 60 co-sponsors for it. Well, we couldn't get a vote. A guy by the name of Joe Biden was blocking us from getting a vote on that for almost a week.
Really?
And then I got a call one evening, and Joe Biden agreed to allow the vote. Well, I found out the next morning that the reason he allowed for the vote is because he and Condoleezza Rice had talked, and Condoleezza Rice had written a letter opposing my amendment for the administration, after the administration had told me that they were going to stay on the sidelines and not get involved. Anyway,
right.
They opposed it, and we had a vote, and unfortunately we lost several Republicans and a few Democrats, and we ended up, instead of with 60 votes, we ended up, I think, 47 or 48. We came short, and long story short on that is I continued to push forward for this legislation. I continued to argue with the president and the secretary of state, and said that we need to address this Iranian nuclear issue. We need to help overthrow this government. And in the meantime, I would add that the President Bush was negotiating with the Iranians. People are being critical of President Obama for negotiating with the Iranians, and I'm certainly one of them, because I don't think Iran will keep to any treaty that they sign for the reason that they've never kept to any treaty that they've signed. So why would they keep to this one? But President Bush and Secretary Rice continue to negotiate until the fall of that year. And then negotiations, not surprisingly, fell apart. And it is at that moment that we were able to resurrect the bill and actually pass it unanimously, both in the House and in the Senate. The president signed it.
Wow, unanimously. That's called sticking to your guns, right?
Well, it's called understanding the enemy. And I think what we're seeing here with this president, and even to some degree the last president, is that they really won't embrace reality. They won't look at the situation as it is. They look at it through the eyes of people who don't want to see things as they are, but want to see things through the lens of a secular world. This is a dominant view within the State Department. You can blame President Bush, you can blame President Obama, but a lot of the blame goes to the State Department, which is a very secular place, which is a place that does not understand religion. They do not believe that anyone truly does things or can really be motivated by religious purposes. They see religion as something that is used to delude the masses, to move the masses, to get the masses to do what you want to do for your own benefit. But they don't see it as a legitimate motivation in and of itself that they actually want to do what they say they want to do for the religious purposes as they describe. And as a result, the State Department influence on both these administrations, I think, is huge. Again, I know people want to be critical of President Obama, and I do too. I mean, I there's a lot of reasons to. But he's not alone in this. And the State Department is very much pushing to see the ISIS, Iran, the Muslim Brotherhood, all in the way that they would look at North Korea or China or Russia or Putin. They see them all the same. They see them all actors who are out for power and money, and really that's it. There's nothing really else, because that's how they view the world.
Senator, I know at CPAC this Friday you're going to be hosting a town hall, and you'll be spending an hour doing a Q&A with anyone from CPAC who wants to attend. What do you hope to achieve from holding a town hall like that?
Well, it's always great at a function like CPAC to have an opportunity to interact with the people who are there. I'm really encouraged that CPAC this year for the first time is actually doing a little bit of question and answer session. I always felt like when you have a bunch of activists like that, people who care enough to come to Washington, D.C. and come to a convention and hear a litany of speakers, that there needs to be more interaction between the leaders of our country and the leaders of the conservative movement with the people to help motivate and to engage. And so I'm encouraged that CPAC is doing more question and answer this year, and so I felt like, well, let's extend that even further. We've done this in the past. We've had meetings and taken questions, and I just always felt like it was a way for, just like town hall meetings when you're running for president, it's a way for people to really get to know what you think on issues that they weren't scripted to talk about at the speech. So you get a better chance to really understand more about them personally and how they think and how they address issues during a town hall.
Senator, I know Patriot Voices has launched a campaign encouraging people to call their members of Congress to attend Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech before Congress. What do you say to those who have already said in Congress that they won't come to hear a speech?
I would say that if you care about the nation of Israel and you care about our relationship with Israel, giving the Prime Minister of Israel the respect that our ally deserves to come and make the case to the American public and to the Congress as to the danger of this negotiation between Iran and the United States is the least that we can do. This president has soured this relationship He has a right to do so. President was elected. He has a right to conduct foreign policy. He has a right to go and negotiate treaties. That's all within the purview under the Constitution. I don't question that. I question the wisdom of doing so. And we need to hear from the country that's going to be most directly affected by these negotiations. Iran has made no qualms about the fact that they want to, quote, wipe Israel off the face of the earth. They're anti-Semitic diatribes, their Holocaust-denying conferences, all of these things are making it very, very clear what their intention is. And for us as a Congress not to allow the Prime Minister to come to the United States and speak to policymakers and speak to the country about how this treaty could, I believe you'll hear it, I mean, create an existential threat to Israel. In other words, Israel's existence is very much in jeopardy with this treaty allowing Iran to keep this nuclear capability. You're hearing now talks of a 10-year deal where they can phase up, I guess, a momentary delay and then increasing as the 10 years goes on. I can tell you that if Iran is allowed to keep these centrifuges, they will be within a few weeks or a few months. When they determine they want to go nuclear, they will have the capability within a few weeks or a few months to do so. They must destroy these centrifuges. They must destroy the capability of refining this material to a weaponized state. And if that capability is not removed, no treaty that allows them to keep that capability will do anything but give them the freedom to ramp up when and if they want to. And I have no doubt they will.
You know, at PatriotVoices.com, one of the banners that's right at there at top now is the campaign to let members of Congress know about this. And as I understand it, Vice President Biden and over a dozen Democratic members of Congress have announced they're going to boycott the speech, and President Obama has declined to meet with him. So Patriot Voices, it takes about 2 to 3 minutes to connect with your congressman and woman and let them know that you're encouraging them.
Yeah, get that link out to your friends, I mean, to your network. That's
absolutely
a very important thing to do. Get, I mean, don't, you know, post it up on your social media pages. Let people know that they can have an impact. I can tell you, as a member of Congress, if you get, 100,000 or even 50,000, emails, if you're a member of Congress, on something like that, that'll blow you up. I mean, that just, wow, what's going on out there? So, I know there's other folks who are coordinating similar things, and we need to put our laboring order in the water here, to storm the gates of Congress and let them know that we have to show respect and solidarity with Israel during this critical time.
Senator, on our last show 2 weeks ago, we were privileged to have Senator David Vitter on the show, and he talked about his recent legislation to stop Common Core. It's called Local Control of Education Act, S-73. The bill has a few sponsors. What do you think about the support for that, and what else can we do as Patriot Voices members to continue that effort?
Well, as you can imagine, we strongly support that, and very thankful for Senator Vitter for offering that legislation. And again, another opportunity to reach out through your social networks. A lot of I know our listeners are very involved in the Common Core fight and have connections with the leaders of the Common Core, the anti-Common Core movement within your states. Make them aware of this bill. Use your ability to lead. To get people to contact their senator and ask them to sign on to the bill. This is a movement, the opposition to Common Core, which is not just in the conservative space. I want to, so if you have a Democratic a senator or congressman, and or even have two Democratic senators, please don't hesitate to write to them, because a lot of the teachers and teachers unions oppose this for really a lot of the same reasons, that it's just an intrusion into their ability to teach in a way that conforms to the highest and best standards that children should have. And so we want to join on a bipartisan effort here to try to get Common Core repealed.
And again, PatriotVoices.com was a great source point for that to communicate and get the word out. Senator, I know the response to your and Karen's new book, Bella's Gift, have been extraordinary. People love the book. It's inspiring so many people. What kind of feedback have you and Karen received so far?
Well, everything from people who have contacted us, and in fact, just a few nights ago, I talked to someone, and I'm trying to remember whether it was Missouri and South Carolina. There were back-to-back days, and I can't remember which venue someone came up and talked to me about it. But they had told me that that a couple who had was expecting a trisomy 18 child, who was considering not having that child, and this our book popped on their radar screen. I don't think they got it, but I think a friend got it for them, and they were able to read the book and have decided to carry on and to have the child. So that was one very exciting confirmation of Karen always said, if we could save one life and give one child and one family a chance at love and understanding, that the response to any type of situation of a child in trouble is love is always the best response, not death. And to see something like that happen, we said that if we could save one little child and open up one family to love, this book would have been a success. So we always feel
wow.
We already feel very successful, and we've gotten several letters from physicians who have told us that that they did not realize that this genetic disorder was something that could be dealt with, and families, these children could survive, and families could live and be and have a rewarding relationship with their child.
That's awesome.
That those letters were also one doctor was very clear. He said, "I feel I've been lied to." And so those are the kinds of things. One of the things that we, in fact, have encouraged this last week, and really in response to some of these letters we've gotten, is for our Patriot Voices members to either take the book that you have, if you bought a book and you've read it, and you want to pass it on, pass it on to your pediatrician, or pass it on, if you're a woman, to your obstetrician, and pass it on if you know someone who happens to be a geneticist, or even an internal medicine, because a lot of general practitioners do early in pregnancies, consult with their patients and talk to their patients on a regular basis and get involved in some of these decisions. So anybody that's a primary care doctor an obstetrician, really, or geneticist, would really be very, very appropriate for this. And you can either, again, pass on the copy you have if you have the wherewithal to do so. It's a great gift to give to someone in the medical profession. Karen always says the pro-life battle is not just in the womb. In this case, it is in the womb, because a lot of these trisomy 18 children are aborted because of what doctors recommend. So you're fighting the abortion battle for these children in the womb by handing this book out, but it's also at the bedside of these kids. And a lot of physicians simply don't treat. And those of you who may have heard our interviews, we make a very chilling point that in America, the survival rate of these children is five times less than it is in Japan. And the simple reason this is Japan is they give every one of these kids a chance. So can imagine how many children are dying today because physicians simply don't know the truth. Well, you have an opportunity to help spread that truth in a very tangible way.
Of course, the book Bella's Gift is available online in any bookstore, Amazon, and also in your major bookstores. I know I saw it at Barnes & Noble the other day, featured. Also, the website bellasgiftbook.com is another great resource. And, Senator, I love what you're saying. I mean, it's one person at a time, and it's informing and educating and that's what people can do. This is
absolutely.
Great,
look, I can tell you that the physicians that have written us, who have seen the book and read the book, have been very clear that they're going to talk to their other colleagues. So if you can just, you know, get a book into a group of pediatricians or a group of obstetricians or you know, most of these people in medicine today don't solo practice. If you're in a small town, that is the case. But if you're in any kind of metropolitan area, most of these doctors are in groups of physicians. So if you can even get your foot in the door with one and touch one of those physicians, there's a good chance that physician will spread the word throughout the practice and maybe even throughout the hospital. So you have a real opportunity to begin to, and it's not just about trisomy 18. That's really the important part. It's about the message is give every child with a disability a chance. Don't let the diagnosis dissuade you from what you see. And you see as a human being who should be treated as an individual and taken on a case-by-case basis. And not to say there aren't dire diagnoses, and not to say a lot of children won't survive, and a lot, unfortunately, do not. But don't write them off before you you give them a chance.
Amen. Amen. Senator, I know you were at the Citadel last weekend, and you, of course, you're probably visiting your boys there.
I was very honored to be there for the Citadel Republican Society Sunday night. They had a dinner honoring Donald Trump and Senator Tim Scott, and I had been honored by that group a few years back with the same called the Patriots Award, and they asked me to come and speak after the other two presenters had been gave their presentations, and so I, of course I jumped at the opportunity to go to Charleston and see my boys, and I had my son Daniel introduce me. They had him introduce me, and my son John we were blessed to see him receive an award for the Citadel Republican of the Year or something like that. He shared it with another
That's
cadet.
Great.
So we were very, very happy to see that he's working hard and that people are paying attention.
It was great to see both of them along with all your children and Karen at the March for Life last month. Where are David and John in their schooling there now at the Citadel?
Daniel is a sophomore and John is a junior, and they're both doing exceptionally well. I was very proud they were in their full dress uniforms, and they have their around their collar. They had each of them had two gold stars, which means that they are have a 3.8 average or something like that or above. Which I'm very proud of their academics. They're excelling in every way. We just nothing but good things to say about the Citadel and what it does in shaping these young men and women. And we've had a very great experience down there.
That is awesome. Well, Senator, thank you for joining us today. As always, we'll be praying for you at CPAC, and I know that you'll be sharing your heart there. And it's a great time to connect. Patriot Voices is going to have a great presence there Friday, a lot of things going on. And so we'll be letting people know how they can still connect and even go there and be a part of that.
Well, we're going to go out and deliver a very strong message on national security. We've been doing so for the past few weeks as this ISIS threat is finally penetrated through to the American heartland and not the heartland, to the hearts of Americans, better stated. And hopefully this is as an opportunity to begin to rally conservatives to abandon this strain of isolationism that was creeping into the Republican Party, and remember that a strong America is not just a strong America internally, but one that projects those strong beliefs and values around the world and protects ourselves by making sure that the world is a safer place.
We are looking forward to it. Senator, God bless
you. Thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye now.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Always an honor and privilege to have Senator Rick Santorum on the Patriot Voices radio show. And it's going to be a great week here at CPAC. And it's still not too late for you to get involved. If you'd like to connect with a lot of events, you can email Shelley Ollersmeyer directly, and she can get you connected. It's Shelley, Shelley, @patriotvoices.com. There's going to be several events along with, in addition to Senator Santorum's speech there. So a lot going on at CPAC this Friday. Of course, the whole conference goes from the 25th to the 28th. So and we had talked to David earlier, who will be going, David Hilaire. So exciting to convene in D.C. again. And it's all about standing up for what we believe and making our voices heard. And so we appreciate you all doing that at every opportunity. Speaking of that, we're going to close our show with another individual who's making his voice heard. It is Lance Cook, and we're going to have him on the show here in a second. And he's from the Citadel Republican Society in Charleston. And so Senator was just talking about that event here recently, so we'll touch base with Lance. Before we do, we want to give you a reminder about today's drawing. We're giving away a free copy of Senator Santorum and Karen's book, Bella's Gift. And all you have to do is go to the Patriot Voices Facebook site, enter the event for the radio show today, and you'll be automatically entered. We do have one winner so far, and we're going to announce that now. It's Dovey Eisner. So he is our first winner, and Debbie will be getting a copy of Bella's Gift, and we'll see if we maybe can give one more away perhaps by the end of the show. But thank you for doing that, and Debbie, you'll be getting a copy of Bella's Gift. So congratulations to you. Okay, we want to welcome now Lance Cook to the Patriot Voices radio show. Lance, great to have you today. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Senator Santorum was just talking about the trip to the Citadel last weekend, and it sounds like it was a great event. Lance, I know you're the Vice President of Public Affairs for the Citadel Republican Society in Charleston, South Carolina there. Tell us a little bit about where you're from, Lance, and how you've gotten involved in these areas.
Sure. So I'm originally from Pensacola, Florida, and now I'm going to the Citadel. I'm a Navy contractor at the Citadel, so I come from a big Navy town and came to the Citadel to go to a military college, and then when I graduate, I'm going in the Navy. So, and then I started out my freshman year. Thank you. My freshman year, I got involved. I joined the club, started going to the Friday meetings, just kind of being involved, and then our first trip, we went up to CPAC my freshman year, and that really kind of changed my perspective on everything. I got to see all the people you see on TV and see a little bit behind the scenes. So that kind of made me want to be more involved. And from there, I started out, got involved in the club, became a T leader, and then became the VP of, like you said, public affairs.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for your service and your education and being willing to step up and serve our country. Let me ask you, tell us a little bit more about why you chose the Citadel for your undergraduate degree.
Originally, I was looking for a military college. I wanted to have that experience before I, you know, to help prepare me to become a naval officer. I could have taken another route with the scholarship thing that they have set up for ROTC. I could have gone to a normal state school like Florida State in my hometown area. Instead, I decided I'd rather have like a more challenge. And, you know, it's known for producing principal leaders at the Citadel. So I chose the Citadel. You know, I looked at other military colleges as well, but Charleston looks the best to me out of all the locations.
Wonderful. Tell us a little bit more about the Citadel Republican Society and what your role is there as Vice President for Public Affairs.
Okay. The Citadel Republican Society is actually one of the largest Republican clubs in the state of South Carolina. We do a lot of campaigning, going out, doing door-to-door knocking. We went up to North Carolina this past election to help run for Tom Tillis. We go out. We've done a lot of campaigns the past years, and we're always actively involved. And it's great. It's a great club. It's really big, and we just kind of go out, and you know, we're a big force to be reckoned with when we go out and help somebody out. And so, as the VP of Public Affairs, like you said, I kind of get to be the point of contact for the media. When we had Mr. Trump and Senator Scott and Senator Santorum come in, I was kind of the point of contact to all the media, the news channels, and the TV and the newspaper are coming to talk to you, and it's a great experience.
Awesome.
To be involved in that and kind of work with everybody.
Yeah, it sounds like a great event. Tell us a little bit more about this weekend, the event that you had there.
Yeah, so our annual Patriot Dinner that we do is actually a fundraiser that we put on to send our cadets to CPAC in our club. We actually are the biggest delegation of any college. Yeah, we're actually the biggest delegation of any college to attend CPAC every year for the past couple of years. So that's
wonderful.
The purpose of the dinner. We put it on, and it's always great to have people come in. All of our members get to come and listen to the speakers as well, and it's just a great fundraiser for us.
That's fantastic. So what kind of group are you sending to CPAC this year from the Citadel?
I think we're flying up. It's about like 50 cadets I think we're sending,
ranging
from nobs up to seniors. Yes, sir. Yeah, so it's always exciting. All of the cadets love to go, especially the nobs or the freshmen. Like I was saying, just like me, when I was a nob, they get to go up there, and that kind of is the game changer for them. It really opens their eyes to see what really is going on out there and makes them want to be more involved.
So you got to go as a freshman to CPAC yourself?
I did, yes, sir. Yes, sir. This will be my third year.
Wonderful. Fantastic. And so
yes,
what were your impressions the first year you went and then the follow-up, and what do you hope to come away with this time?
The first year I went, it was just really amazing to see the speakers. You know, a lot of people I had never seen before. Sarah Palin, I mean, Mr. Santorum himself, just all of the senators. And I mean, I think I saw Mr. Trump that year as well. Now I've gotten to meet him more personally, which was a great experience. But, the first year I just kind of saw that. And my second year when I went, I kind of got more involved and walked around to the booths. They have that booth area there. And that was great. That's where I really started to learn a lot and kind of get into some debates with some of the other people there. And that's always fun. It's really learning experience for sure.
Well, that's fantastic. So Lance, you mentioned that you plan to go into the Navy.
Yes, sir.
So what does your future hold for you? What are your goals?
Hopefully, I'm a computer science major, so when I graduate, I'll have a degree in that, and then I'll commission. And depending on what, MOS I get selected for, I could be going to surface ships or maybe flying. This past summer, I went out on a submarine. And that was an interesting experience, but I'm thinking I'm leaning towards either flying or going surface ships.
Fantastic. Well, Lance, again, thank you for your commitment to serve our country. And I'm excited that you're going to get to go to CPAC. And it sounds like you said, the largest delegation from any college. That's very exciting that so many people are going to be going to CPAC this year.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Lance. You have a blessed day.
You too.
Thanks to Lance Cook, the Vice President of Public Affairs for Citadel Republican Society in Charleston. Wow, they've got a great group going to the CPAC, 50 people, and what a great opportunity for the young men and women to go there. And that's very, very cool that it was a fundraiser, the event from this last weekend. So appreciate him taking time to share with us. And, we had two young students today share with us, and what is always an inspiration to hear from the young people who are principled and they get it and they're taking the call to action that we've talked about at the top of the show to heart, and they're willing to stand up, and if someone doesn't do it, who will? And that's the question. And so I hope that as you're listening today, either live on the radio or perhaps an archive podcast or through iTunes or whatever, that you take this call to action, no matter what age you are, whether you're a young student or at any time in your life. And that includes people, in their senior years. I call it 11th hour power. I mean, God's not finished with us until we breathe our last breath. And so God is preparing all of us to step up and just follow his path. And so be ready to be active and take that call to action personally. We want to thank everyone for joining us today. We want to thank everyone for joining our Facebook radio event. And we have another winner. We're giving a second copy away of Bella's Gift, and that goes to Stephen Shackford. So congratulations, Stephen. You'll be getting a copy of Bella's Gift written by Rick and Karen Santorum. So that's very exciting. Remember, there's still time for you to get connected. CPAC, you can email Shelley Ollegemeyer, Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, at patriotvoices.com. If you're interested in connecting for the day, a lot going on. Friday is Patriot Voices Day. Senator Santorum will be speaking. We have the town hall, some other meetings. So make sure to connect there. You can learn more about CPAC at CPAC, that's C-P-A-C, .conservative.org. And it's going to be an exciting time. Of course, we heard from Senator Santorum that his speech will be really focused on foreign policy, very important message that he'll be sharing, as well as, I'm sure, some other things on his heart. As always, we appreciate you taking time to join us on Patriot Voices Radio. We're here live the second and fourth Tuesdays each month at noon Eastern Standard Time. We're also on iTunes podcast directory. You can just check out Patriot Voices Radio. I love to listen to shows like this, you know, when I'm working out in the gym or riding in the car. So a lot of people do that. Check us out also for just a linked archive at patriotvoices.com/radio with a small r. Thank you again for joining us. Take care. Be willing to take the call to action and stand up and make your voice be heard today. God's blessings to you all.